Good morning, Brookside. Or perhaps it's good afternoon or even good evening, depending on what time of the day you're joining us in our broadcast today. Whichever it is, we welcome you and we want you to know how much we miss you and how much we long for the day that when we can get back together as a church family, as a church body, and worship together in person, raising our voices to the Lord in song and adoration and prayer, and rejoice in hearing the Word of God together in our worship services. And so we trust you're having a wonderful day, keeping your heart focused on Him and resting in His care and in the glorious hope of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have a great week this week. Each day, one of the pastors is going to bring a short message, devotional, with regard to the day of the week that it is in the Passion Week, because the Passion Week is upon us. That week that has been hallowed and revered for centuries by the church. That week that as well has been a profound and defining week for the human race in all of history. And the Passion Week, of course, is actually upon us because it actually started yesterday on Sunday, which has traditionally, of course, been called Palm Sunday, with the entering into Jerusalem of the Lord Jesus Christ presenting himself as the Messiah. And that's where we're going to start today. And so let me invite you to take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 11, and we're going to take a look at verses 7 through 18 of Mark chapter 11, and just call to our attention a few of the events there and some of their significance, which will just give us a much better picture and imagery of what was happening at that time in Jerusalem and what God was doing in the nation of Israel. And hopefully it will just cause our hearts to really rejoice and be in awe of what God has done. Of course, Palm Sunday began with the colt being procured by Jesus' disciples as he had sent them to retrieve that colt for him. And so we're going to pick up the text actually in verse 7, where the disciples are bringing the colt back to the Lord Jesus. And so Mark chapter 11, verse 7 tells us, "Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road." Verse 9, "Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" All of these words and all of the imagery of the entry of the Lord Jesus into Jerusalem on this colt, with palm branches being spread before him in the road and people laying their clothes down on the road to cover the dusty road, were all a part of the amazing imagery that was practiced in ancient times when a city would welcome a new sovereign, a new ruler, a new king. And so this is nothing unusual. This was something that historically the Israelites knew and understood. And as they cried out, "Hosanna," those were the words that meant literally, "Save, we pray." It was an appeal for divine help. And the grammar here in the original text gives us the imagery of a continued crying. And so they just kept crying out, "Save, we pray, save, we pray, save, we pray." And then they go on to to cry out, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord," a direct reference to Psalm 118, verse 26. This was part of the Hallel song that was sung especially at the Passover time. This could not be more significant in terms of the Passion Week and this week before Easter, the week before the Jewish Passover. And then they cried out, "He that cometh," literally meaning the coming one, which was a specific term that all Jews would have recognized as an indication of the Messiah arriving. When they said, "Blessed is the kingdom that comes," it was a clear reference to the Son of David that was prophesied throughout the Old Testament prophets as the coming Messiah. Hosanna in the highest was a phrase that meant not that it was declaring to the highest degree, but in fact, to the very highest places, and the references to heaven itself. Wow, what a scene. This had to be absolutely amazing to have been there and to witness this. And these, especially this, the significance in the inferences is that the Jewish people, and especially the Jewish leaders, they should not have missed this as being the declaration by God that the Messiah had come. Everything about it, everything that was happening, was shouting the triumphal entry of the Messiah. What an incredible demonstration of God's love and God's grace to make this so clear to the Jewish people and their leaders. It could not have been clearer that this indeed was the Messiah that God had long promised. After this amazing scene, we're told in verse 11 there of Mark chapter 11 that Jesus came into the temple, and after looking around at everything, spending some time, he returned then to Bethany with his disciples, since it was already late in the day. And then in verse 12, we find now the events of Monday, the Monday of Passion Week. We're told that in verse 12, that on the next day when they had left Bethany, he became hungry, and seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, meaning in foliage, he went to see if perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening, we're told. So here we have this picture that on the way back to Jerusalem from Bethany on Monday morning, the Lord Jesus, it says, became hungry. And then it says that he saw a fig tree afar off having leaves. Basically, the idea was that it was actually unusual because it was about a month before the typical fig tree would have foliage and be in full growth. And so it caught his attention because it was afar off. Certainly, there were many other fig trees around, but they had no leaves. They had no foliage. And so when this full, green, beautiful foliage fig tree caught his attention, he might have assumed that there was fruit on that tree. But apparently, upon closer inspection, he found, of course, that there was no fruit. Now, I think here's the spiritual point that he was using this illustration to teach his disciples. Number one, that he expected fruit. Because he saw the leaves and all of their foliage, he expected there to be fruit because there were signs of life. But it says he found none. And so really the point is that despite all of this foliage, it was really a deceptive profession. And then when we realize that the fig tree was an Old Testament type of the nation of Israel, the picture begins to become more clear of the spiritual point that the Lord Jesus was making to his disciples. In other words, that the fig tree with all of its leaves was making a bold profession of fruitfulness to all that would pass by, but in actuality had none. And basically, I think this was a symbol of the Jewish nation and its leaders, proudly boasting of being God's people, proudly boasting of being spiritual leaders of Israel, but completely barren of any spiritual fruit. In other words, really a declaration of hypocrisy. And thus, Jesus here is beginning his confrontational rebuking, especially of the nation of Israel's leaders. And then after this little object lesson to his disciples, the Lord Jesus continues with the disciples into Jerusalem and all the way to the temple. And he does the very same confrontational rebuking of hypocrisy at the very heart and center of where Jewish worship was supposed to take place. Let's draw our attention then to verse 15 of Mark chapter 11. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. And then he taught them, saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of thieves?" And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. Generally, we've called this the cleansing of the temple. The day before, on Sunday, he had entered Jerusalem as basically the king of Israel. But today, Monday, he now enters the temple as the high priest of Israel, and the high priest that is rebuking the very perversion of worship that is going on in God's temple at the very heart of Jerusalem. This is taking place in an area referred to generally as the outer courts, the very large area called the court of the Gentiles. And it was here where there was buying and selling going on of those things that were needed for the sacrificial offerings. And also where all Jewish men, all Jewish adult men, had to pay their annual temple worship fees or the temple tax. You see, when all the Jews from all over the known world, from surrounding countries where they had migrated, when they would return to Jerusalem for the Passover feast and the worship that would take place, only Jewish currency could be used at the temple. And therefore, as these Jews would come from all the surrounding lands with their local currencies from where they lived, they had to make exchanges because only the Jewish currency could be used. And it was in these exchanges of the foreign currency to get the Jewish currency that these money changers were charging exorbitant fees and making exorbitant profits and business off of these travelers that were coming in. And Jesus said what was supposed to be a house of prayer, they had now made into a den of thieves, which was a clear allusion to Jeremiah 7, verse 11, about the sheltering of robbers. Now, unless we reveal too much here too early in the week, we're going to wrap up today's broadcast time with this picture of this escalation of confrontation that is now just beginning early in the Passion Week and is going to get only greater as the days go by, leading to the ultimate climax of the crucifixion. of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I trust that you'll spend time this week in the Word. You'll be contemplating what all of this means and how Christ has done this for us as his people, those that would come to know him as Savior and Lord, and that this would be a great blessing to you throughout this Easter week. And may you be turning now to be a light that shines to friends and neighbors and family members who need to know Christ as Savior and Lord. And so until our next broadcast, we wish you the most wonderful of week. In Jesus' name, God bless you.